Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, Eldorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Joining us right now, it is Jeff Banister. The former Texas Rangers manager, and you are going to be today, I believe, guest hosting on Inside Pitch.
Well, that's what they tell me.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's a maiden voyage for my radio career, I guess.
Nice.
Good. Go
is
get it,
Is that something you're interested in?
Well, I think there's definitely an interest to be able to take the next step into maybe a different career or different path for a time frame. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm done in the dugout or anything like that, but for the time frame, it's an opportunity to talk and talk baseball, which I love to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's one of the things that when we have Mike, and I know he sells himself short a lot of times, but he made it. He made it to the show. And that's a big deal for anybody any kid that's ever swung a bat. In their backyard, practicing against the fake pitcher, but that's when you got all that knowledge there, being able to share, it's always you want to be able to do that in some way. So
for sure, no, I think we all have our opinions. We all have acquired knowledge, as you say, on the game, and I think any time that you can listen to people who have actually worn the uniform, they've been on the field, they've actually either as a pitcher faced. Hitters or a hitter faced a pitcher, been on the field, been in front of a crowd, 20, 30,000 people, if you will, for a time frame, and you're competing at the highest level in a situation where you're letting your skill set, if you will, go out and play. There's so much that goes into that it's when you have the opportunity to translate that information to the outside world, the people that don't get an opportunity to do that, the kids that they may be dreaming of playing at that level someday, and they're listening, and they can gain experience from somebody who's been there and done it before. It's crucial.
I know I texted you, and I was wishing you good luck on getting the Astros job, but I'm going to be very honest, Manny. I did not want you to be wearing that uniform. I know it meant a lot to you, but as a Rangers fan and as a fan of you,
text was a lie?
Yeah, absolutely it was. It would have hurt me so much to see you as an Astros manager.
Well, first, I appreciate the honesty. However, I would disagree with you a little bit. And I know I listened to Mike when he talked about it, and I think he called Dusty a sweetheart of a human being. And listen, I was honored to be interviewed for the position. Where I grew up, hometown team, used to sneak in the Astrodome to go watch the Astros play. Wore the hat as a kid. It would have been a dream come true. Now, I believe, in my opinion, that this is a team that we have yet to see, even through everything that is going on right now and all the talk, and it's been the hot button for such a period of time that, this is a team that is in need and is going to need not just one leader. There's multiple leaders that are to be able to get them through this, because this is, I think there are different stages of this. Everybody wants their pound of flesh, if you will, of these guys, and some of it is deserved for what has transpired. However, this is still some of the best stars in our game are playing in that uniform, and they need to go out and play, and there's going to be challenges in every stadium that they go to, every city they go to, and can the leadership step up and keep these guys focused on playing the game and not get caught up with the outside noise.
Kevin, I was honest about the part that I said I thought he was the right person,
right.
The right guy, the right man to navigate them.
Right.
Just me wanting him to have the job was not
okay.
Honest,
so all just, right. Well, I'm curious because you mentioned like how many just excellent players they have there. I know every situation is different, but what drives someone to do that when the talent is already there? What drives someone to say, yeah, well, let's just do this too? Because it has tainted what they've done, whether they think it does or not. Like, you listen to all the reaction, people are like, I don't believe it.
Put your credit cards in your wallet and your cash in your wallet and just set it down on a table and watch people that walk by and people that don't walk by and those who pick it up. And what I mean by that is, listen, there's the elixir of winning, right? That you want it so terribly. As a young kid, Mike, as a former player, if you've been an athlete in anything or just a human being that wants to compete, when you get to the highest level, listen, I've been in the game for 35 years and have yet to win or be on a World Series winning team. You think I don't want to win personally? And the desire, I don't want to walk away from this game and not have had that opportunity. So, but there isn't this elixir of what are you willing to do to win at all costs? When you're at home and you're playing cards with your buddies, do you turn away if they're showing you their cards? I'm not saying what Houston did was – I'm not. You asked me a question.
Yeah.
You know, what drives – I think it starts as a trickle, and all of a sudden is the more and more you kind of get away with it and the more success you have, it becomes much bigger than you really think it is. And then you're at a point where you just can't get out of it. You can't help yourself. You feel like that it has to happen. And I just feel like that these guys, it happened. You know, they've apologized, if you will, but yet there still is that culpability of, you know, listen, people are talking about stripping them of their title,
sure.
Right? That's a hot button topic. There are people that we're talking about, we're going to get our pound of flesh of a revenge of hitting these guys and things like that. I think we ought to be careful of some of the things and what we say. It's everybody needs to feel their emotions. It is, we can't slide it by. It's not. It's there. It's open. The criticism is deserved, all of it. However, at some point, you know, we've all been in certain situations, right? For me, if we can just get back to the idea of what's most important in anything that we do, our character, our integrity, the morals of what we do, and the real competitive nature of who we are as a person, an individual, as a team, go out and play the game, because there are times that I can tell you, Mike probably been on the mound and you know, getting some of those high leverage, high intensity moments. And all he's wanting to do is get the sign and concentrate on throwing a pitch. So you let your guard down, and all of a sudden there's guys at second base, and they're picking you apart, and they're giving signs. Well, the thing you don't ever want to do is take it to that next level, that next step. And I think that's what happened. These guys, they got into a situation where they were winning. They continued to win. They looked at it. They became easier for them. And you still got to hit the baseball.
Sure.
Major league hitters, if they can eliminate the difference of velocity, that back to front, if you will, hitting becomes easier, because you can eliminate, you can lay off of breaking pitches, secondary pitches that maybe you would have swung at before, because you know what they're coming, you know that it's coming. Or you might be dialed up to hit 98 where you're not in between, so you got a greater chance of putting those balls in play.
So you were talking about, we're talking with Jeff Bannister right here on 105 Through the Fan. You were talking about, you know, obviously people want their pound of flesh and everything. And there are a couple of Astros players who they've had enough of listening to that, and they have started to push back. I'm curious if you could speak on this. Had you got the job, would you tell your players, now's probably not the time to be speaking back out against the public? Because I feel like that's going to make it worse.
Well, we live in that microwave society where we don't like what's on TV right now. We pick up our phone and we'll watch something else. We can pull up any show right now if we don't like what's going on. It's if we don't, you pull into a drive-through now in any fast food restaurant, they got two or three different lanes to get us through quickly. So we want things to be over with. You watch the news cycle. what happened today is gone tomorrow, and we're on to the next one. And so my advice would have been to those guys, listen, let's focus in on what's real today, right now, and that's getting ready to play the game of baseball. Your season is about to start. You got to stay focused with that. It's hard enough to play this game. You start getting caught up with the outside noise. You start getting caught up with the frustration of what other people feel. You need to allow everybody to feel what they're going to feel. It was wrong. You got caught. So let's just draw back, focus in on everybody inside this clubhouse. Let's get ready. Stay focused, play the game. We'll take whatever battles in front of us on a daily basis. Don't get too far out in front of you. So it's a simple principles of playing a season anyways. There's always some adversity that comes down the way. This is just a giant adversity that these guys have to maneuver through and continue to take on what the responsibility is.
You managed against the 2017 Houston Astros, and I've talked to Rangers that are on the team that have said, we knew they were doing something that were on your team. We just didn't know exactly what they were doing, but we knew that they were stealing signs from us. We just didn't know exactly how they were doing it. When you were the manager in 2017, did you feel like when you played against the Houston Astros, and I guess especially in Houston, did you feel like as the manager, they have our signs, I just don't know exactly how they're getting them so quickly?
Well, Mike, and that's a great question, and I'm glad you had those conversations with other people. I'll tell you this, that 2017, we can single out Houston.
Yeah.
I was on a major league team in 2010, 2011, 12, 13, 14. I'm also fortunate enough to have grown up in an era where I started playing professionally in 1986. You learn to pay attention to a lot of things. You learn to play that poker game every single night where you paid attention to body language. You paid attention to all the things that were given you on the field. Coaches were always looking away from the ball, watching different players. Shortstops would give up pitches. Second basemen would give up pitches. The catcher would give up, whether it's fastball or an off-speed pitch. Pitchers would tip their own pitches along the way. We have gotten to a point now where technology has allowed us to kind of dull our senses, if you will, our instincts of players on the field. You watch players today, the third baseman's no longer telling the shortstop what pitch is coming based on analytics of where we play these guys. So we've kind of washed away some of this. Go back to the question of 2017. Listen, we were given – we knew that there were certain locations that we would go into because of your experience and what you watched and hitters. Why were certain hitters on every single fastball? Why were certain hitters laying off pitches that they used to swing at? They're seeing it so early, they don't even get ready. So all those things tell you something's going on, right?
Yeah, they led the league in strikeouts, and then all of a sudden they became the best at not striking out.
Well, in 2010, as a member of the Pittsburgh Pirates, we knew that there were certain places we went to, that there were certain things you wanted to pay attention that we gave. Ray Searidge went on MLB radio yesterday and talked about a number of things, but yet we were together back then, and he and I were the two guys that kind of put game plans together. We watched we just knew something was going on, so we would go in certain locations that we knew multiple signs, and we were going to have to change them multiple times, that our pitchers had to be on top of paying attention to what we were going to do, how are we going to change signs. And as the manager of the Texas Rangers, we knew that. This is the game that is being played that night is a game that you pay attention to. If you're not studying the other teams and understanding exactly – you are not giving your team the best advantage to win. So how do you combat that? Well, you pay attention to everything that's going on. You know your surroundings, and you combat it the best way you know how. And you go back to as early as 2015. We were given multiple signs in certain places with nobody on from the very beginning of the game.
Now, we've had AutoFlex Leasing fan Texans a lot of times, especially during this Houston Astros situation. And I think kind of maybe you're big-time football fans that are casual baseball fans. I'll give them the casual baseball fan. They're like, I can't believe baseball still just uses fingers to give signs to the pitcher. And I know there's taps that can happen and different things. If you were to say, because the technology's here and hopefully nobody uses it in the way that the Astros used it, but to the question of, I can't believe that we still use these types of signs in baseball. Do you think that it's easy just to steal the finger signs, or that there should be a different way of giving signs?
Absolutely. No, it's an archaic way of doing things in today's world. You want to talk about being progressive. We can be progressive in that, and where we take that completely away from the ability to at least not give other teams or teams a nightly advantage of knowing what is coming in certain situations. There's technology to where, look, if it was, you know, put glasses on these pitchers and where the only they see what is the catcher is, or there's an earpiece or whatever it is that can be communicated from the dugout to these guys, it's a head shake, we can roll down, you know, whatever. It's ultimately, it's up to that pitcher of what he feels comfortable with throwing in that situation. You know that. The comfortability allows you to be consistent and deliver the best possible pitch that you need to deliver in this. And if you don't have confidence in that, you have a greater chance of leaving that ball out over the plate or yank it in the dirt. So that's the human nature of who we are. And it's anxiety creates it. Don't think that these guys don't go out there in those high leverage situations and feel that until it, some of the best players. It's why you see certain guys in the NBA. They step up to the free throw line and listen, and that moment gets a little too big at times, and that one half revolution and the ball is hitting the rim and it's out.
Well, it's interesting because I've brought up this, which I'd love to know, and I know the Astros aren't going to specifically answer this, but Yu Darvish struggled against the Astros in 2017. Yu Darvish then was having a great playoff run in the DS and CS and then got to the World Series and got crushed. And you just wonder, how much did they know what was coming and how much possibly was mentally Yu Darvish going, man, these guys have hit me so hard in 2017 that it was already in his head. Am I giving away the pitches by something I'm doing physically, or is it by them stealing the sign? So the Yu Darvish situation just is fascinating on where his career went from that 2017 World Series.
Well, and I'm gonna back you up just a little bit.
Okay.
I was listening, driving on the way in, and I'm an avid listener. I'm a Tolo.
Heck yeah!
Even though that Thanks. You know sometimes I may not wanted to be a Tolo, but I was. Comes with the territory. Yu Darvish, for all the fans, and I may take a beating for that, I don't care. Yeah. Yu Darvish was a hell of a competitor. He was a guy that went out there. He's an extremely intelligent human being that's always looking to be better. There were nights where you knew he didn't have his best stuff, right? However, this guy was always trying to find a way to be better. How do we judge one single human being against our own thoughts? And the other thing that I'll add to that is that we had one of the toughest human beings playing on our team with the Texas Rangers in Adrian Beltre, who everybody else tried to judge themselves against, because this guy, he'd play through anything. And we saw it as fans. I saw it as a manager. And one of the most challenging things was, you know, trying to tell these guys, you are not going to live up to what Adrian does on the field and what he puts himself through. So stop trying. But to answer the question about you, there were things in Yu's delivery that we knew and saw that we would catch on a nightly basis when he was out there, that he would give up some pitches. But you combine that with the ability for a hitter to know exactly what's coming. Yes. Now, he was true at times. Sometimes that stuff was absolute filth. But the reality is, again, a guy like Yu Darvish, as a hitter, as a major league hitter, you can eliminate every other pitch, but the pitch that is coming, you have a greater chance of success. And I think that's where he got caught up. And he is such an introspective guy that probably did start to put some doubt and question in his mind. When this guy is mentally on and his stuff is right, he is as good a pitcher there is in the big leagues.
Banny, I know we got a few minutes here, but you've always been so honest and open with us, even whenever we had opportunities to sit with you on the bench and just talk about some stuff.
Can we mention the first question he ever asked us when we saw him in person? You walked in, we were in the prep room, and he goes, All right, where are your smart-ass questions now? It was one of my favorite moments. I love it so much.
I do wonder, though, I'm just curious, and this might be an emotional question, what do you miss the most about being the manager for the Rangers, or being a manager in general?
Well, listen, what do I miss the most? I miss walking out that tunnel and seeing the fans. I would go out early every night. I miss walking out onto the field. I miss the joy, and I miss the challenges and struggles, the adversities. I miss the players, the interaction, the leadership, the things they taught me throughout the years I was with them. And I miss, you know, when that national anthem is played and umpires just play ball, and then everything that you prepared for, hopefully you prepared your players for, hopefully the coaches prepared themselves and the players for, that nightly back and forth, that battle against another team. And at the end of the night, you had a winner and you had a loser. Let me take that back. There's no losers. They're learners. I've put that into my mindset that there are no losers in this. You're either a winner or you're a learner. And so the thing that we learned about each individual, I miss the celebrations with the players. One of the moments I remember most is when Rugi hit the home run against Seattle and, you know, him jumping into my arms, and, you know, that was on the internet for quite a while. You know, people talking about the reaction. I love that emotional roller coaster, and I was not afraid to jump on it and stay on it, because it is what drives you on a daily basis to get through the entire year, because it is one of the most grueling things in all of sport is to get through a major league season. And at the end of it, if your guys have been healthy enough and they've been battled enough and you're talented enough and you've got enough grit and resilience in you get an opportunity to get in the tournament and then all bets are off.
Well, don't keep doing this a lot, because you're going to take my job. Go back to managing or bench coach or trading. Something, because AutoFlex Leasing Fan Text is loving having you back, Benny.
Yeah, actually, somebody said, their name's Matthew, they said, thanks for throwing the ball with his boy Xander. They just wanted to say they appreciate it.
Well, I'll tell you that, and I've told this story before, my grandfather, who owned feed and seed store in Weatherford, Oklahoma for a long time. And he would, you know, I'll use some old terms. He traded with a lot of people and a lot of farmers. And he was a huge Johnny Bench fan and Mickey Mantle fan. And I'll never forget, I think I was probably 8 or 9 years old playing. He'd go out when I'd visit him, we'd go out in the back amongst all these tractors, and he'd play catch with me. And he asked me one time, he says, you know, why do you love the game so much? I said, well, I just love getting out on the field and playing. He says, here's what you do. He says, I want you to remember this. He says, always play for those who can dream and those who can remember when. And I've never lost that, because if you analyze that statement, right, you know who those who can dream is. Those young kids that you walk by them, you don't ever say anything, you don't ever acknowledge them, and they got starry eyes, and they don't want to come back. They've been crushed. I've heard so many stories of that. And then, those who can remember when, or, you know, the guys that have played before, some of the older people that can remember some of the great athletes that paved the way for all of us. And so that's, to me, that's probably one of the more important things in what we do in anything, really, is that we never lose sight of that.
Man, we really appreciate you hopping on with us. You actually have some more. You got to go get prepared, all right? So you got some big stuff in front of you, and we love having you on. If you ever get a chance to stop on by, you're always welcome to hop on with us, Banny.
Well, that's been a great pleasure. Thank you very much.
All right, that is Jeff Banister. Catch him on Sirius starting in about 16 minutes. We're the KNC Masterpiece.
Don't leave our show,
right,
Kevin.
I mean,
but
well, you just gave a compelling argument.
Yeah,
I'm just
he's
saying,
really good.
You can do both.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!